This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Joyce Bosk, who is the president, CEO, goddess of Bosco Bell, an advertising PR firm in Silver Spring, Maryland, and Bill Holleran, an old friend and a PR pro, also from the Maryland side of the river. Both, welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks,
Great to
Mark.
Be here today, isn't it, Bill?
Great to be here. Absolutely.
It's always fun to be here. Today's show topic, judging from the guests, should be about PR. So let's start off with a little background. Joyce, tell us a little bit about you and Bosco Bell, please.
Happy to. Thanks so much. Well, Bosco Bell is a full-service public relations firm. We are 35 years old this year, so we've been around for a long time. Our mission is to help government contractors win these critical pursuits, and we do that through public relations. So we're very happy to be here today to talk to you about that and how we do it.
BoscoBell.com?
BoscoBell.com.
BoscoBell.com.
That's it.
Wild Bill.
That's me, Wild Bill. Thanks again, Mark, for having us on the show. For more than 25 years, I have been doing the hollering for contractors and PR firms in the federal IT market space who need to create more visibility, generate brand awareness, for the PR firms that's doing it for their clients. And I've been doing this by developing PR plans, crafting messages, writing all types of PR and marketing materials, and last but not least, pitching stories to the media outlets that cover the federal market. And for the past 8 years, I've also been teaching public relations, marketing, and professional writing at University of Maryland, University College, UMUC, and the University of Phoenix. You know, the old saying is if you can't do it, teach it. Well, I do it and teach it.
Well, you got to do both, yeah.
And I'm also proud to say real quick that I've been one of Joyce's team members at Bosco Bell for almost 15 years, but who's counting?
Right. There you go.
There you go. So let's talk a little bit about what PR actually is. I hosted a PR panel. This goes back many years when Alan Holmes was still at Federal Computer Week. And he said that there's three basic things that get his attention. Something that's really hot, new, unique, but germane to the market. Anything involving controversy and things involving big dollars. And the big dollars for him, he indicated that in DC we have money, we don't have sex. So those were his things. But give us a flavor for exactly what PR is and what it can do for a company.
You want to take that first, Bill?
Well, a lot of people, when they hear the term public relations, when they hear the term PR, they automatically think of press release. And there's a lot more to public relations than just cranking out press releases. And really, press releases lead to publicity coverage. Publicity coverage is known as media relations, the result of media relations, but it goes way beyond media relations. Right, Joyce?
It does. And I guess what I'm going to say, Mark, and this is something I know that you believe fully, is that PR is really a door opener to building a relationship. this entire market is all about relationships. So you have to build the relationship with the reporter. You begin that by, of course, I feel, obviously introducing yourself, but sharing useful information and demonstrating to them that you're a trusted resource. The funny thing I was thinking about, and I agree with Bill, I think a lot of people think PR is a press release. Mark, you've gotten more publicity in this town than just about anybody, and I bet you have rarely written a press release. It's all been on your relationships.
I don't know that I know really how to write a press release.
There you go. That's a perfect. That's exactly what we mean. Yeah.
But it does. You know, it lends something else to the equation here. Anybody can buy an ad. Anybody with money can buy an ad
that's
in a
right.
publication. Not everybody gets quoted.
That's true.
And there's a credibility level that occurs when you're in the story.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really important for all businesses, particularly small businesses, though, because they have to sort of fight for their fair share of market visibility. It's all of the reporters, of course, know who the big companies are. But what they don't know is who the small and the mid-tier companies are. So for them, I think it's even more important.
Well, I'll throw a wrench into that statement. Not all big companies know who the reporters are, because if they aren't based here, if they aren't focused on government, their in-house PR people in Peoria San Jose may not have a clue, and they may know a name, but especially recently, the migratory habits of editorial people have become extraordinary.
Well, I mean, that leads to one of the challenges related to developing relationships that lead to can lead to press coverage. One of the fundamentals is that you have to, not only do you have to know who the key reporters and editors are, but you have to know what they're writing. You have to read their stuff, and you have to get a sense for what they're passionate about, not only as professional journalists, but you know, to the extent that you can meet them face to face by going to events, you know, if they're speaking on panels, to the extent that you can get to know them, you know, what are their passions, what are their pursuits outside of the office. But you have to not only know the media context, but know what they're writing and know what they're passionate about.
And it's hard to do that from Peoria.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, all of the publications now have that little comment space at the bottom of articles. Almost all editors have blogs, and reporters who are still on staff may also have blogs. But that little comment button at the bottom of a column or something is a perfect spot.
Absolutely.
So.
And it's funny you mentioned that, Mark, because one of our success stories is that a couple of things. One, we use the comment button on an actual story for a reporter, and we won the client a complete bylined article based on just using that comment button. So, I mean, that was a huge win for us.
But again, looping back into knowing the journalists, some journalists, they hate the comment button. They hate the comments. Others like it. So you have to know the reporter and know when to use it, or when to stay away from it.
Well, if you're going to slam them on the comment button,
right,
it probably isn't going to get you on their radar in a positive way anyhow.
Right, right.
But you know, social media has opened up more opportunities. An even better way to get on a reporter's radar screen is to using Twitter is to retweet their content.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the biggest compliments that you can send to a reporter in this new social media age that we're in.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the traditional forms. So, again, credibility is established when you are the person quoted, because the reporters and editors are looking for, quote, the experts when they're involved in a story. So, getting somebody on Federal News Radio, in Federal Computer Week or Government Executive Magazine, in Washington Business Journal, etc. What are the other forms out there that I'm missing? And again, comment on a little more on the value of those particular media.
Okay. Well, obviously, you know, there's a lot of traditional media, and you mentioned them. But one of the things that's exciting today is not only do you have the print vehicles for all of those traditional publications, such as FCW, GCN, the host of defense publications, but you now have more real estate because they have all the online versions of those publications as well. Plus, there's all these online newsletters that I'm sure you're seeing, Washington Executive and GovCon Daily. Washington Business Journal now has a Fed Biz Daily. So there's so much more real estate, and there's so many more opportunities, I think, to be able to get, you know, get your client coverage. You have to have still, though, let's remember the basics of this. You have to be responsible. You have to pitch solid stories. You can't just, you know, pitch for the sake of pitching and pitch, you know, soft news and give them softballs. You've really got to give them some solid news and a well-prepared, a very well-prepared client for the interview. If the client shows up and starts to repeat their vision statement in the interview, they are not going to be invited back to the, you know, to the dance.
Yeah, reading from prepared notes is not acceptable. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back after these messages.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Joyce Bosk of Bosco Bell and Bill Howerin, who is an independent PR person. I suggest you look up Bill on LinkedIn, and I suggest you look up Joyce on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
Too, BOSC, Bosk, and BoscoBell.com. I want to wrap up on the traditional media. Joyce, during the break, you told me about—I heard about this because actually somebody mentioned— either one of my events or one of my books on the show a couple months back, but Government Contracting Weekly?
Oh, the new TV show.
Yeah.
It's relatively new. It started in September, and it's called Government Contracting Weekly. It's on WSA Channel 9, of course, on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m., and it's produced by the very famous Alan Horlick, who has produced a number of TV shows and has a new book out. And it's sponsored or underwritten by AOC Key Solutions. But the host is Hillary Fordwich. And they're bringing in a lot of top CEOs on Sunday morning to talk about challenges and solutions and what they see and trends. And that show precedes, of course, the ongoing show, which is the defense news show with Vago, which is Sundays at 8. So they've got a nice power block there on Sunday mornings to have your coffee. It's okay. Picking up some steam, though, that new TV show.
If you're not at church or...
There you go.
You know, otherwise awake and at home, tune them in.
There's
a plethora, though, of publications that have emerged as online pubs. I mean,
yes.
You know, first, WashTech stopped being a hard copy and is now exclusively online.
Yeah, they're doing a good job, though, online.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I still write for them. I like them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we have Fierce IT, we have Washington Executive, Smart CEO, and, you know, on, you know, WBJ is doing FedBiz Daily
now.
You have the Fierce publications that have been with us now for 3 or 4 years, at least in our market. They may have been in other markets longer. But give me a flavor for the value of, you know, generically the value of these, and if you have a favorite or two, say so.
Great. I can start on that, Bill, if you don't mind. But I was just kind of sharing recently that our clients, you know, we work a lot with the business development and the capture managers in these major organizations. And these folks love being in Washington Executive. That's J.D. Kathuria's publication. He's also relatively new, but he does a great job. He's originating copy. He's covering he's covering a lot of C-level folks and a lot of VPs and SVPs of BD. I feel like Alphabet Soup here. So I think he's doing a great job. And the Fierce IT pubs, I think Mark, you just mentioned they just won an award. They've got a lot of verticals with the financial and so forth and the Fierce Gov IT. They've got some great writers there. And I think they're doing a really good job too. Now, the Washington Business Journal has recently launched the FedBiz Daily, and that seems to be picking up some steam. And I think the Business Journal in general is making a very concerted effort to reach out to our community. That's very, very clear from you know, from what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Those would be, of course, Chris Dorbeck's Insider just was in one of the top 50 must-read blogs.
Dorbeck's first shot on the radio was on my show.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. There you go. He's quite an MC. But those, I think those would be the ones I would say my clients really love to be in.
Bill?
Well, I wanted to, if I could, just circle back real quick to the traditional print media. Real quick, you know, the Washington Post, unfortunately, it doesn't have as much local business. It doesn't have as much local business coverage in the daily papers it used to, but
doesn't have any.
Very little. But now it has Capital Business.
It has,
the Monday tabloid business section.
But why do I want to pay for that?
Well, that's a good point. But the point is, from a PR standpoint, they are doing more coverage of the mm-hmm. local technology industry on a regular basis. And then another quick sort of tactical point related to traditional media is that, you know, if you win a contract, let's say at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, you need to pay attention. You probably want to get your subject matter expert or another key person interviewed in the Dayton Daily Paper. So depending on where you're doing events or where you're winning contracts, the major metro dailies in cities around the country could come into play as part of your strategy.
Okay. But now the you know, one of the ones, Joyce, you didn't mention was Smart CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke at one of Craig's dinners late in 2012, and you know, it was a really good crowd. An excellent restaurant, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
wonderful food. But I mean, you know, there's just so many, and I guess, you know, with traditional media, we have the audit statements. We know who the audience
right.
is. We pretty much have a percentage breakdown of, you know, job titles, functionaries, et cetera. How do you prioritize which of these you go after, if you go after any of them?
Yeah, I think part of it is going to be definitely almost like anecdotal. It's sort of like talking to your clients and doing an informal focus group and finding out what they are reading. And the reason I say that is, for example, if I have a client and they're a vice president of BD and they have a profile in one of these online pubs like Washington Executive, it's read by another BD person. That BD person can then say, geez, I'm looking for teaming partners and I forgot about John. Let me call him. He'd be an excellent teaming partner on this particular procurement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely more anecdotal. You can't really show, you know, numbers like you can with an audit statement, but it's very important to these the business development folks, I can tell you that.
Okay. And, you know, just so we don't upset anybody, we did not yet mention Fed Insider or GovCon Daily.
Right. Or the Bloomberg pubs.
Let's talk about Bloomberg.
Wow.
Bloomberg, technically Bloomberg is not hard copy, but Bloomberg feeds the Post information, to Bill's point, and it feeds Business Week. I know because I get occasionally interviewed by the BGov folks, and mm-hmm. I've shown up in both the Post and in Business Week. And I hadn't been in Business Week before. That was pretty cool.
So that's, I think right there, that kind of said it all, because a lot of these publications and what you just said, even with being interviewed in Bloomberg, these things have legs. So what it's doing for you at this moment, but if it has legs and it leads to something else, then that's really that's phenomenal for you
right.
to get into Business Week from that. So I think that's some good ROI, Mark, for you.
I don't
mind. You weren't complaining.
Well, I also, like, my relationships with reporters are slightly different. Once I get to know somebody, they know they can call me and say, who do you know that can help me with?
Blah. Right.
So
exactly.
I do a lot of favors for reporters that way, and obviously some favors for my friends that way.
Right. But that's also how you build the relationship. You are absolutely somebody they can count on.
Exactly.
And Bloomberg has a radio channel too, and from time to time they'll cover technology trend stories on that, And, you know, we, of course, when we talk about radio, we have to mention Federal News Radio.
Well, Bloomberg has a show on Federal News Radio.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Exactly.
So, when you say they have a radio channel, they got their own station somewhere?
It's called Bloomberg Radio.
Okay, I thought that was just a feed for other people.
They do their own. They do their own programming.
Okay, cool. Haven't been on that yet.
There's another opportunity for you, Mark.
There you go.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, well, I'll have to find out who their host is and have them on my show.
There you go. That's exactly how you do it. That's how blogs work too.
There you go. So did we miss any of the online pubs? Because in the next segment, I want to jump on how to leverage the social media. So I don't think we, well, if we did, I'm sorry.
Nope, I hope we didn't.
We'll mention you another day.
We're going by memory, so.
There you go. So you're listening.
And mine is getting a little, rusty here.
You know, they say that the memory is the first thing to go, and I can't remember what the second thing is.
There you go. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We will be back after these messages.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbin. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Bill Hollerin and Joyce Busk. Bill is doing a seminar for me at Capital College on PR for small biz. Joyce will be on the panel there. I'll be on the panel. We'll weasel somebody else from Federal News Radio to be on the panel, and we'll get a print journalist as well. That's April 16th. You can find it at capital-college.edu/GMM, or look me up on LinkedIn and you'll find the information there as well. So one of the things that I really want to talk about here is the use of social media as both a tool for sharing news and actually breaking news. So I'm huge on LinkedIn. I know
you guys are
much better on Twitter than me. I use Twitter exclusively as a push mechanism, which I know is myopic.
LinkedIn is increasingly being used by PR pros to connect with porters. You know, once you meet them, when you go out and you know wear out some shoe leather and meet them in an event and getting out from behind your desk, once you know them, then you make a connection on LinkedIn, and that creates a nice two-way communication channel with them.
And follow them on Twitter right away, right, Bill?
And start following them on Twitter.
Yeah.
But you know, Twitter now is it's really becoming the dominant social media tool for pitching stories and maintaining contact with reporters. And there's even some new
How do you pitch a story on Twitter?
Well, it's interesting. I was just telling Bill about this, but we attended a program last week at the National Press Club, and it was on twitching. So they
twitching.
Had a twitching, exactly, a twitch, and that is a Twitter pitch. So they had reporters there from, you know, from CNN and Bloomberg and all over, really. So it was kind of like a big focus group. And the reporters unanimously were in favor of twitching. And one of the big reasons is that it limits you if you can't say 140 characters, then that's it. So it saves them a lot of time. It makes the PR person get right to the point. And we've already done some twitching and done it successfully.
Cool. So, I mean, but what do you do? I mean, what's
it's
different than picking up the phone or sending an email?
So glad you mentioned that. The reporters, now this is the reporters here. These are not reporters that you know and you have these great relationships with, Mark. But the reporters at this session actually said that they did not like to be called on the phone, particularly a cold call, unless it was someone that they, a source that they really knew, because they felt it was an intrusion. They feel that people have email, they can reach them on LinkedIn, they can reach them on Twitter, they have enough ways to be able to reach them that they really were becoming very anti-phone. Interesting.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that.
It's an intrusion to them.
And that's, you know, for a cold call. You know, warm calls, you know, after you send an email, after you contact them through LinkedIn, it's okay to give them a follow-up call. But
it seems to me that a pitch would take more than 140 characters.
Well, it could. I mean, it certainly in the older days, I don't want to say old days because I sound like a dinosaur, but yes, our pitches were very long. But think about it. Right now, with the way everything is getting shorter. Mm-hmm. You know, people's attention is getting shorter. I think half the planet has ADD, and I'm probably one of them. So I think that we really have to start to synopsize things and get right down to what is the essence of this pitch and see if they're interested. They were also open to introducing yourself and saying, I'd like to be a resource for you. I know you cover A, B, and C, and I'd love to be one of your resources. They were very interested in that, too.
Cool.
And that's part of the relationship building process, you know, which ties back into knowing what they cover, knowing what they're passionate about, but, you know, feeding them useful information, which may or may not be directly related to your client. But the other thing we talked about earlier is, you know, retweeting their content.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Twitter is becoming huge now.
Yeah. I do push, but I also retweet. Good. But, you know, one of the things I haven't heard here is you mentioning anything about reporters wanting to be contacted through Facebook.
Mm. You know, Facebook, in the B2G space, business to government space, Facebook really isn't... It's generally not used for PR purposes. I mean, in B2G, it's used primarily for recruiting, but Facebook really is not used very much at all. Pinterest is good for product promotion, but you have to have something to show. And something new that's popped up is a Google Hangout. We've seen a few examples of Google Hangout being used for press events, but... It's so unstructured that can be very problematic.
I think Michelle Obama just used it. But that's
not contracting though. That's,
right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so
I think we have to wait and see on this.
I think the jury's out on Google Plus.
Clearly our best returns are on LinkedIn, no doubt about it.
I as you know, I've been there now 10 years.
Mark, do you use LinkedIn?
just a tad.
A little, yeah.
I've been teaching LinkedIn for 6 years now.
Yeah.
So I don't know anybody that's been doing that longer
I don't
than
either.
Me. In our space. I mean, I know some people who've been doing it generically longer. But again, not many there either. So let's talk about LinkedIn specifically as a media push. I mean, you can post your news there. I see fewer emails coming out from companies announcing their GSA schedules, but I see more discussions where they're pushing that information in selected groups on LinkedIn. But what are the other uses that you have for your clients here?
Well, we just actually had an interesting opportunity. Well, several of them actually, but one of the things I wanted to mention is we have sort of an informal social group of companies that all support one another in the social media, including in LinkedIn. So we post each other's news as well on the LinkedIn groups that we might belong to that they might not belong to. So certainly... You can write a blog. It's so the content, and I know you are the king of repurposing, but the content that you write in an article can then be condensed to a blog, can then be tweeted, can then, you know, go on LinkedIn groups, and it just really keeps, you know, growing your circles, and more people are able to access that information.
But I mean, the LinkedIn groups are absolutely critical as part of a social media PR strategy. You've got to join them and get active in them
and read
and
them
useful
and comment on them
to share on your own stuff that you post. Mm-hmm. Keep those discussions going.
Well, if somebody comments on them, go back. I mean, you know, when somebody comments on my articles in Wash Tech, Nick will send me an email saying, you know, you got a couple interesting comments here, you know, ping them. Or, you know, comment back. And
absolutely.
Same thing, you know, when my articles show up in Wash Tech, the first thing I do is post the links to those in groups on LinkedIn where they're germane. And if anybody, you know, I'm following all of those conversations. So when somebody comments on one of my articles, I have to comment back.
Absolutely.
And what irritates me greatly is that when somebody's article is up there and they never enter the discussion.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they should be, because they should want to continue the discussion, because it gives it more legs.
Yeah.
And they're going to increase
their
audience.
Well, it gives it more validity. I mean,
absolutely.
You're dealing now with the author of the idea, not a surrogate.
Right, exactly. And validity is one of the primary values of PR, is that it validates and it provides credibility.
Yeah, and platforms like LinkedIn certainly offer the transparency that everybody's talking about. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have a thought on that, William?
No, I'm pretty much used up. Right now.
Well, okay, then this twitching concept, the Twitter pitch is certainly new to me.
Glad we mentioned it.
I'm gonna pick your brain after, as is the organizing a little group of stuff, because I have people who reach out and say, will you post this for me, or will you comment on it for me, blah, but it's all very informal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as you might imagine, I'm on LinkedIn probably a little longer than I should be every day.
The informal relationships are really good, though. We can all help each other, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio. We will be wrapping up this discussion with talking about PR for small business, how to get started, when we return, back after these messages.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Bill Holleran. He is a journeyman PR professional. He does some work with Joyce. He also works on his own. And Joyce Bosk is the other guest of Bosco Bell, which is a full-service PR and advertising firm in Silver Spring, Maryland. I grew up in that area, so I'm flashing back.
It's growing up.
PR for small business. What there's a lot of misconceptions on the part of small businesses. How do they get started? Well, give them some tips. So, Bill, start.
Well, I mean, just to start off, in terms of the value of PR for small businesses, I mean, there's no question that small businesses need the value and impact that the PR can bring. I mean, when you look at it, small businesses are often creators of innovative, hot, niche technologies. And the great thing about PR is that it can make a small business appear larger than it really is. And one of the ways you do that is by establishing thought leadership. And in Joyce's, she has a PhD in thought leadership campaigns.
Thanks, Bill. So, I would say three major things that a small business can get is, one, as Bill said, the small business can look a lot larger, which is good for government contracting. They get tremendous validation and credibility that you can't really necessarily get from paid advertising. And the third one is they can actually get leads. We had a small business example where we did an interview with a small business. He was quoted. A potential government customer called him and asked for a new business meeting. So there are three great reasons for them to do it, but they have to do it well. And I think that's where the
quicksand.
Yeah, the quicksand is.
Well, one of the things that I see when they do it themselves, mm-hmm. is it too often turns into a really blatant sales pitch.
Yeah.
So how do you avoid this scenario? I mean, short. I mean, they should go out and get some professional help. Admittedly, whether or not they will is completely different. So say you're just advising a friend on how to avoid this syndrome.
Right. Well, I think one of the things I would say, and I know, Bill, you teach this, so I'm going to let you pick up the ball there, but they ought to really, first of all, try to learn the basics and try to read press releases and articles that the larger companies are putting out, because they'll see that they are devoid of promotion. You know, you can't really promote the product or the company, and it has to be written in AP style and in journalist style. And I think that's the other thing. If they have a proposal writer writing the stuff or administrative assistant, they may not even know what AP style is.
That's right. You know, and there's even a rogues gallery now of certain words that you don't want to use in your press release. You know, solutions is way overused.
Unique.
I mean, there's a long list of not that long. You know, about 10 or 12 words that you absolutely don't want to appear in your press release. And there's some mechanical things that you have to be aware of in terms of the headline, a subhead, you know, the lead, the pyramid structure of a news story that needs to be reflected in a press release. But it's
how important is a headline?
I think the headline is of absolute importance, and it's even become more important nowadays in the day of Twitter, you know, because it's encouraging us to be more succinct. Another thing you have to be aware of is when you're let's say you're writing a press release, but you also want to send it out by email. You have to make sure that headline is small enough to fit on the email screen of the message recipient. And if it's short enough, it's readily transferable into a Twitch.
Mm-hmm. So give me a word count. What's an optimum word count for headline?
I would say no more than 10 to 12 words.
And I would definitely add a subhead. Our testing has shown that press releases that have the headline and the subhead actually do better.
Okay.
And then I think it also goes back to, you know, any company that's just relying on press releases is not going to be viewed as a thought leader. To be a thought leader, you have to get into the conversations, and you have to be able to, write or at least comment on things. If you are a small business and you are doing one of the four main hot topics today, which, as you know, Mark, are mobility, cyber, cloud, and big data, you can get press because those are the four, you know, the four hot topics today. You can, and if you're a small niche company and you provide those services, you definitely can be a part of a subject matter expert program.
Okay. Bill, any thoughts on that, the expert status side?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the subject matter, as we call it, the SME article, you know, we talk about things having legs, but once you get one of those articles published, first thing you do is post it on your company website. You can turn it into a direct mail piece to prospects. Direct mail is still being used, and it can be reprinted for use as a marketing collateral at trade shows. We all know that trade shows are having a tough time these days because of the GSA debacle and the sequestration, of course, and then the new GSA rules limiting government travel, but they're still out there. And so a subject matter expert article, and let's not forget white papers. White papers also.
Good lead gen tool.
Terrific lead generation, solid, fresh content for your website. You know, that you have to look at your website, too. You have to make sure that the content is fresh and that it's you've tuned it to be a 24/7 salesperson. Mm-hmm. And it's also can be a 24/7 PR person.
Are you seeing more blogging as a result of all
this?
I'm
glad you mentioned that, because one of the tips I would say for a small business, Mark, I think sometimes small businesses have a very, very tough time keeping their website fresh and up to date. And a very easy and cost-effective way to do that is to create a blog. And it sounds like more work, but it's really not, because once you create a blog, you're able to update that on your website, and it really allows you to keep putting in fresh content, mm-hmm. which in turn helps your search engine optimization and can help your lead gen.
Doesn't hurt mine.
And I think also websites, I think that people have to look at their websites from a lead gen perspective. I think that it is a missed opportunity that people are not really looking at their websites with more lead gen in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing about subject matter expert articles, white papers, you know, it boosts your SEO, your search engine optimization ratings. The other thing about blogging is that having a corporate blog, you know, you can use that as a channel when you're doing a press release. Put the press release in your blog. The reality today is that reporters are trolling constantly online, and so sometimes
they're searching on those words too.
On those keywords, so releases can get noticed more readily, more easily when they're part of a blog than when they go out as a traditional news release.
There you go. I want to mention again that Bill is hosting, actually He's the leader of a seminar for us, PR for Small Business at Capital College, April 16th. If you miss that one, we're going to be doing this one probably at least once a quarter. So if you miss round one, think summertime, but it's going to be good. I mean, this is an extremely valuable tool. I can attest to this. I've been in over 200 publications worldwide. Some of those, I mean, a lot of times. So it gives you a credibility that you cannot buy with advertising. Joyce, Bill, thank you very much for coming in to join me today. Joyce Bosco Bell, you can find her at BOSCOBEL.com. You can find Bill Holleran, HOLLERAN, at LinkedIn. Oddly enough, you can find them both at LinkedIn. I suggest you do so. This is not my day job. I do consult on all aspects of marketing to the government. I am the co-director of the Government Market Master at Capital College, and I coach a lot of people on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.